Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you again, Lord, for your presence here in this place. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that there are truly places in our lives and in our hearts, Lord, that are truly holy ground because of your Holy Spirit that works and moves in our life. Lord, we praise you for this place that you've given to us, Lord, a building and an opportunity to be gathered together this morning as your church. And Lord, I pray this morning as we open your word that you would open our hearts, Lord, that you would open our minds, and Lord, that we might receive the message that you have for us today as your church. Lord, we pray these things in your most precious name. Amen. Acts chapter 13 this morning. Acts chapter 13, we might make it through there. We're going to do a lot of reading this morning because it's kind of hard. There's a lot of description here in these verses, and so we're going to read quite a few verses. You have to just bear with me here because mainly because this is a message. This is a very specific message from Paul. Kind of interesting when we think about Acts chapter 13, and we're going to begin looking in verse number 13, is where we left off last time. We see a message from Paul himself. We think about just a few chapters previous to this, we're introduced to this man named Saul, who's now Paul, right? We remember that? We made that distinction here last week. We see a difference in a name, and it's a reminder for us in the church that it is truly a name and a change in an attitude of heart. And this man that was truly identified in Scripture as the persecutor of the church is now a proclaimer of the Word of God, a description of the truth of God. And so we see here in verse 13, it says, "When Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga and Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem." It's kind of key and important. Remember that verse for future reference. But we see, as we read last time together, that this was John Mark, as we mentioned it, came alongside of Paul and Barnabas, and now we see him departing. We'll find other verses later on that tell us there's a little more indication of what might have happened here or occurred, but for the context of our verse this morning, it says John departed from them. He went on to Jerusalem, returned back there, but when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. And they sat down. So it gives us a description again. Now we've moved from place to place, and we're now at the church at Antioch. Gives us a description of where we are. If you're interested, you can go to the maps and look. Sometimes your Bibles have maps in the back or in the front. Sometimes if you're really interested in the geography of those things, you can always go to the internet and look up those things. And those there are name changes a little bit from time to time that we might see, but it's always interesting to see how the journeys are. Most Bibles will give you a description of the missionary journeys of Paul, and that's kind of fun to look at. You can kind of see where he went from place to place, and he preached the Word of God. We're now at the church at Antioch, as it says here, and the very first place that we see often in the book of Acts is, where do they go? But to the place of worship, right? What we might define in the context of this verse is the synagogue. So he went to the place where the Jews met together, where they had worship together. And it says they came on the Sabbath day and they sat down. And after reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, "You men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on." So they come to the synagogue, and the Jewish religious leaders are there, and they give to Paul and Barnabas, as they were there, we see this reminder. It says, you're here, come and give some word, if you've got some word of encouragement. And we see a description here, first of all, that what happened in the process. The normal pattern in the synagogue was to read the law. Not any different, really, than we're reading today. They were reading the Word of God. Up until that point, of course, we realize that as we're reading these verses, the Old Testament is being penned out. You know, it's not, they didn't have the luxury of having the New Testament that we see today and we read. They had the first part of the Scriptures, the Old Testament, the law, the first five books of the Bible as we read it specifically. They rehearsed those Scriptures over and over, and that was their time of worship. So after they had read the law, the religious leaders, it says there, the prophets, they stood up and they called to Paul. They said, "If you have an encouraging word, come and tell it." It's kind of like an opportunity. Here's an opportunity for you. Come and share what God has been doing in your life. If you got some opportunity, come and give us, as he mentions it there, the word exhortation for the people. Yet did they realize that they opened up an opportunity, right? And man, what would it be like today if we were given opportunity as the church to just share? If somebody asked you today to share your joy in the Lord, would you be able to do that? If you went to a place, if you went to any place, maybe it is a place of worship, maybe you walked into some place that was even foreign to you or different, maybe you walked into somebody else's home or into a situation, maybe you walked into the workplace during the week, and somebody asked you to share the Word of God. Could you do that this morning as a church? Would you be excited about doing that? Would you know the first place to start? All good things to consider when we think about Paul and his new walk in relationship with the Lord. We know obviously that he was very educated in the law. We've read that before. He knew the Old Testament scriptures. He knew what they were teaching and preaching in the synagogue. But he had something more, right? He had the same message that we have today as the church. A message of Jesus Christ. And so the religious leaders say, hey, come and share. If you have any word of exhortation, he says, say on, tell us what you have to say. So then the opportunity comes. As a believer this morning, when you have opportunity, do you take it? Have you recognized that there's opportunity in your life? When God calls and He leads in our life, do you recognize the opportunity? It's very key for us to see here that Paul sees the opportunity. He saw the opportunity, it was presented to him, and it's an important part of our life today as believers. When we see an opportunity to share who Jesus is in our life, we need to take it. Take that opportunity. Don't be concerned with the words that are going to come out of our mouth. Don't be concerned about the way and the method and how we're going to say it and just exactly the way it works, because God's Word promises if we're faithful to share what God has done in our life, He's going to use that. And He's also going to provide us the words to say even when we least expect it. Mm-hmm. So for Paul, he took a step of faith here. It tells us that he stood up immediately when we see that. And beckoning with his hands, he said, "Men of Israel and ye that fear God, give audience." So we see not only did he stand up, but he called some attention. He says, "I want you to listen. Come and hear what I've got to say. There's something important for you today." And it's important for us in the life of the church to realize that the message of Jesus is that important. That we need to call. That sometimes we really, truly need to beckon people to come. That beckoning is this opportunity that we see from Paul, that he was really calling people. Come and sit down. Come and hear what the Word of God says. Look at what is important. "Men of Israel and ye that fear God, give audience." He says here, "Listen. The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and an exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt, and with a high arm brought he them out of it. And about the time of 40 years suffered he their manners, in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed 7 nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot. And after that he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years until Samuel the prophet. And afterward they desired a king, and God gave unto them Saul the son of Cis, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony. And he said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus." Now we see Paul gives opportunity here. He says, hey, listen. And what does he start with? The familiar. Right? Did you recognize that? He started with the familiar law, things that they already knew. We're right in the midst of a message that Paul is giving to those that were willing to listen. And he starts out with the very basics of them understanding where they came from. Right? And it's kind of important for us today when we think about the message that God has called for us. What better opportunity to share with somebody about Jesus than to start right where they are? It is one of the most important things we could learn as the church this morning. Because one of the challenges we face in our just our normal process is to try to get people where we are. We want people to understand the things that God is doing in our life. And the only way we really know how to do it is to describe what He's doing right now in my life. But it's important for us. It's a very important thing that Paul did in this instance, in this opportunity, when God gave him the opportunity to speak to these people. He rehearsed the very history of who they were and where they had come from. Why? He gave opportunity to build relationship. And this is an important thing for us today as a church. If you want people to know how serious you are about Jesus, build a relationship. Build an opportunity with Him. Get to a place of recognition of where they are. You understand this morning that not all of us are in the same place, right? We've all got different things going on in our life. We're in different situations. You're facing some situations that I've not faced or that I will face in the future. We're all in different ways and different times and different situations in our life. And it's important for us, what the example that Paul gives to us in this is much more than just simply preaching a message, but being able to relate to a body of individuals that were desiring to hear the truth. God had given him free opportunity here. And so he starts with the very basics, and we get a very abbreviated history of what takes place in the law, in the Old Testament scriptures. If you want to define what Paul just defined in a couple of verses, you got to read pretty much the whole Old Testament, right? There's a whole half of the front half of the Bible that you're holding in your hand that Paul just literally abbreviated in a couple of verses. And we come to this place where he talks about David. And of course, we know that Jesus come from the line of David, right? He gives us a real quick family line and a history. And that's what he says. Of this man's seed, God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior Jesus. So he brought them from where they were to a place of understanding who Jesus was. Best opportunity for us this morning in the church. Bring people where they are and point them to Jesus now. Amen. Help them to see what it means to know Jesus. And that's exactly what Paul did. He was a leader and he didn't even realize what he was doing because he was being used of God. And you may not realize today, the simplest of things that you share with people will make a big difference. If we come to the place where they are today, wherever they might be, the misconception we have in church life this morning is that we've got to start people with the knowledge of Jesus Christ first, right now. Hey, you need to do this, right? But we get them to that place of understanding Jesus when they know where they are in their life, first of all. And we bring them to this relationship with the Lord. Verse 23, as we see that he mentions Jesus very specifically as the Savior. In verse 24, it says, when John had first preached before his coming the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel, and as John fulfilled his course, he said, whom think ye that I am? I am not he, but behold, there cometh one after me whose shoes of his feet I am not worthy to loose. Now Paul goes on to say, now here's this picture of this Savior, and you remember now that there was a time. This is kind of more everyday life for them. At this point, as we see it in the book of Acts, he's revealing to those that are in the synagogue, in this particular instance, hey, you remember what happened. We come all the way up to this line of this man named Jesus. Oh, and by the way, you remember this man named John. For us, as we rehearse these verses, we're reminded of John the Baptist, right? That's what we call him, John the Baptizer. He's the one that came before Jesus. And that's who Paul's referencing here in this verse. As John did what God had called him to do, he bring people to a baptism of repentance. And as John fulfilled his course in verse 25, he said, whom think ye that I am? Right? Now he brings a reminder again to their thoughts. You remember John. Remember this man. And he pointed everybody to the same thing, right? To Jesus Christ. Men and brethren, in verse 26, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. He again brings them back to an understanding, recognizing who they were. You're stock of Abraham. You're the men and the women and the family and the children of the line. And all the way through this time in history, he brings them to this reminder that the fear of, he said, those of you that fear God, to you is the word of salvation sent. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor their yet the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulchre. But God raised him from the dead, and he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you, he says, glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children. In that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second psalm, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he saith also in another psalm, thou shalt not suffer thine holy one to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid into his fathers and saw corruption. But he who God raised again saw no corruption. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sin. That's a whole lot. I told you we couldn't stop, right? That's Paul preaching. What did he preach? Let's go back to history. Let's go back to what you know. Go back to the understanding in a relationship in your family line all the way up to Jesus Christ. And he says, as you're listening to these things and a reminder of David, and we think about the stock of Abraham as he mentions, and he talks about Jesus, and he recounts what we might recount and think about here coming up pretty quickly in our day, right? It's Easter. That's the Easter story in short form right there. Did you catch that? Paul lined it out. There's this man named Jesus, and what happened? And honestly, and think about from a religious standpoint, this is fresh in the mind of those that were in the synagogue, right? As we're reading in the book of Acts, this is after the crucifixion of Christ, and he's reminding them of what happened. Hey, there was this man named Jesus, and he came, and he died on a cross, and he was buried in a tomb, and he rose again. And why did he raise again? For the forgiveness of sin. And that's what he said in that verse there. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sin. It's through Jesus Christ. There's no other message that's more important today, right?
Amen.
For us today as the church, for us as individuals in the body of Christ, and for the lost world that we live in, the most important message we could ever share is that there's a God that loved us, that sent his one and only Son to the cross, that rose again from that grave, so that we might have forgiveness of all the sin in our life. That's the message of the church. Paul took opportunity. Now think about what it means, honestly, for Paul to do this. He's standing in a religious place, let's call it that, right? He's standing in a temple, in a place where they came together, they worshiped God, and he recounted what? The truth of Jesus Christ. And it's one of the most important things that we can learn today as the church. What is the responsibility of the church today? Preach the Word of God. Teach the Word of God. Teach that there's a lost world that needs to know Jesus. That is the responsibility, whether we accept it or not. Every church in this world, that is the responsibility that God has given to us. And if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ this morning, it goes much more than just simply the church building. But it goes to every person that has a relationship with Jesus Christ. The same responsibility we each have to share the forgiveness of sins with the world that needs it. To think about those things. In verse 39, Paul says, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Now it just got hard. You really think about what Paul just said. He said there's a message of a Savior named Jesus that came to forgive you of your sins. And he goes on to the next verse and just put it into perspective what Paul's doing right here in this particular verse. He's got a group full of people sitting in a building that are listening to his every word. And he tells them, the law that you've been living in doesn't cut it. Anybody have an idea what might happen? If you walk into a building full of people and you tell them, hey, what you've been doing all your life is not what you need to do. You need to do something more. There's something different. It's the same struggle we face in church today. Go out into the world and tell people that they need Jesus and nothing else. Find out what happens. Right? Help them to see. That's what Paul did. In that verse, he says, you believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. He says, all of the law that you've been trying to hold on to. And it's a very important message for the world we live in today. It does not matter how good of a person you are. It doesn't matter how well you live your life. It doesn't matter how much money you have in your checkbook. It doesn't matter how fancy of a car you drive or how nice of a home you have or what kind of relationship you have. Get a little more personal. It doesn't matter who your grandma and your grandpa and your great uncle and everybody else was. It doesn't matter any of those things. It doesn't matter who you're friends with. What matters is that you know Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul dismissed in this very message that he's giving to the church. He says that Old Testament law, it's not that it wasn't important, because it was. God handed down that law to the people. But he also handed down a new law that came through Jesus Christ. It's called the New Covenant. It's what we live in today in the church. That Old Testament law has passed away and the New Testament is what we live in. A relationship with Jesus Christ. And one of the most important things we could ever come to in our walk and relationship today as the church is to recognize that our most important call is to be in right fellowship with Jesus Christ. Amen. Put aside all the other things. It does not matter how many times you come to the church building. It doesn't matter how well you think you're living your life, how many times you pick up the Bible every day and kind of skim through it and feel good about who you are. It doesn't matter all the positive little things that you do. Most important thing that matters is that you know Jesus Christ.
Amen. And that's what Paul proclaimed to these individuals as they're sitting there. In verse 40, he says, "Beware therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets." He says, "Behold, ye despisers, and wonder, and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you." The next thing he tells them is, what you've been doing, you see that? He tells them, the law doesn't matter anymore. And then he gives them a warning. Don't hear this message and just dismiss it as being deceived. That's what he said in that verse. "Behold, ye despisers, and wonder, and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you." Paul was that man. He says in front of this group of religious people, pay attention to the Word of God. It's already been written this way. Don't be the people that don't want to hear the Word of God. Be the listeners. Be the faithful, obedient servants that God has designed us to be. In verse number 42, it says, "When the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath." The Gentiles. Now we see the Jews, and now this, in common terms, church is over, right? It's 12 o'clock, finally the preacher quit preaching, everybody got to go home. They all get out on the street corner, they're walking down the street, and the faithful Jews that were in the synagogue walk out. That's what he says, when they'd gone out of the synagogue. Then also the Gentiles. It's important to recognize that there was a shift in the church. There was something changing. Now, it was not only the Jews that were meeting in the synagogue, but some of what we'd call the converts. Those and the Gentiles were now sneaking into the early church. This is a big distinction for us today. We've already defined in our study through the book of Acts, if you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile. So every one of us that are not Jews, we fall into that category as Gentiles. Now, we want to make very clear that we understand today, if the Word of God had not been preached to the Gentiles, we wouldn't be here today.
That's right. Amen.
If the Lord had chosen for the Word and the truth of Jesus Christ to only be preached to the Jews, none of us would be in the place we are this morning. None of us would know the opportunity to know Jesus Christ. What was happening in the early church was a big transition from hey, you got to be a Jew to know God. And it's an important message for us today as the church. It doesn't matter what race you are, doesn't matter what color you are, doesn't matter where you came from or who your family is or any of those things. The most important thing you know is that you can know Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And that's the message for the church today. That there's not one person in this world that Jesus didn't die for.
That's right.
His purpose on the cross was for every person, no matter what we might like to build up as a wall. Paul dismissed that very quickly here. The Gentiles came in and they have this desire. It says they besought the words that they might be preached to them the next Sabbath. They said, we want to come and hear more. We want to hear more about this Jesus. We want to hear more about the things of God. Verse 43, now when the congregation was broken up, it says, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. So after church is over, things are done, and we see this, that term proselyte, that's those Gentiles that came to faith in Jesus Christ. And the Jews that had come to faith in Jesus Christ and were willing to move past the Old Testament law and all the religion that they had been holding on to. And it says there, they persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. Continue in the things of the Lord. Continue in the service of the Lord. Man, what a great call for the church today. Continue in the grace of God. Be faithful in those things. The very next Sabbath, it says, we play on for next Sunday. Do you ever think about when you're sitting in church today, do you ever think about next Sunday? Do you ever look forward to just being together with each other? We recognize in our church life today, we rattled it off this morning in the announcements, there's a whole lot of times we're together besides Sunday to Sunday. There's a reason for that. Because it helps us grow, helps us fellowship together and work together and be the church that God's called us to be. Minister together. But these individuals were looking for that next day, that next opportunity. That Sabbath day came almost, it says in verse 40, almost the whole city together hear the Word of God. Almost the entire city. Do you think about it this morning? What would happen this morning if we left here today with a desire and a heart to share who Jesus is with the world we live in? And we were excited about being together. The next time the doors are open in our church, we don't have to wait till Sunday. We got Wednesday, right? We're going to get together tonight. Man, what if just we left here this morning excited about what God's doing, and we left these buildings this afternoon, and we all came back tonight at 6 o'clock. By the way, you're all welcome to do that.
Amen.
Every Sunday. We're here all the time. What if we went out into society and we brought people in? Into the community. We didn't share how church went, and we didn't share how things worked out. We shared about Jesus Christ. And because people knew that there was a love of Christ coming out of the doors of this building and in the body of believers that's gathered here, they had a desire to come together. The very next time the Sabbath rolled around, it says almost the entire city came. For just the random thought for you to think about this morning. They always say roughly we're around 1,200 people in Fowler. That's kind of how many people kind of live in the surrounding area. Can you imagine if 1,200 people showed up here next Sunday? We'd have to have church outside.
Amen.
Mainly because we don't have enough chairs in this place for everybody to sit. We could take the chairs out and we couldn't fit 1,200 people in here. Man, what a problem to have. That the Word of God spread. It wasn't that Paul preached. It wasn't that he was this great, wonderful preacher. That has nothing to do with it. And that's the most important message we see in the church today. It doesn't matter who the preacher is. It doesn't matter how good the music is. It doesn't matter how nice and fancy the building is. And all of those things. It's about Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's about the message of knowing Jesus. And because they heard the love of Christ, and they heard about a death, burial, and resurrection of a Jesus that died for every one of them, the whole town showed up to hear the Word of God. But when the Jews, in verse 45, look what happened. When the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy. And they spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Oh man, what just happened? I mean, just a week previous, these same people begged Paul to get up and preach. You remember that? We just read it. The religious leaders are standing there and they said, hey, Paul, if you got a good word of exhortation, step up here and tell us. Paul gets up, shares the Word of God, and now the church is mad. Why? Same reason people get mad in the church today. Well, how come that guy got up and preached and all these people showed up? Right? All of a sudden, something happened. And they got mad. That word right there is descriptive for us. It's envy. Because they were envious of the amount of people. They weren't envious about the work of God. They weren't excited about what the Lord was doing. They became envious, and what happened? Now, we see conflict, right? When we get serious, do you recognize this morning in the church, have you ever honestly had a time in your life when you were so serious about the Lord that all of a sudden life just felt like it fell apart? Mm-hmm. You're serious about the Lord, you're involved in doing what God's called you to do, you've made a step of faith, you've came to salvation experience with the Lord, maybe you've been serious about coming to church and worshiping together, and all of a sudden life just starts to throw all these things at you, right? Yeah. There's conflict, there's difficulty, there's challenge, there's questions, there's wonders, and you're all sitting back there thinking, man, I'm getting serious about God, now what happens? It's no different than what happened here. Conflict came into the church because of envy, because of selfish desire on a human nature, and in their mind, their envy steps in, and it takes charge. And they began to speak against the things which Paul was speaking, and they were contradicting it. So what does that tell us? That they were faithful to share the Word of God, and when they shared about who Jesus was, there was people outside saying, no, that ain't right. No, Jesus isn't the way. Right? No, Jesus isn't the truth. No, Jesus isn't the lie. That was contradictory to the truth. And if you haven't realized it today, there's great contradiction against the Word of God.
That's right.
When you get faithful, you're going to run into contradiction. These are the religious people. This is people inside what we would consider the church. Hey, this doesn't have nothing to do with anybody outside of the church. These are the people that were supposedly committed to the Lord. Contradiction moved in. And there was struggle and blasphemy, it says. Of course, in verse 46, then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold. It says, what did they do? They made a decision. Hey, there's some contradiction here. We're going to do something about it. It says, they waxed bold and they said, it was necessary that the Word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. So Paul and Barnabas stood up and they told the religious leaders, you know, we came here first so that you could hear the Word of God. You don't want to hear it? We're going to the Gentiles. Mm-hmm. And it's an important lesson for the church today. Whether you realize it or not, there are people in our world today that don't want to know about Jesus.
That's right.
And we have an opportunity as a church. If they don't want to know about Christ, we've shared it with them, we can move on. We can move forward. Paul, Barnabas, they took this opportunity. We shared this with you. You, and look what he says. You, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life. The religious leaders were so tied into their tradition that they dismissed themselves the opportunity of even knowing Jesus. They put it off. That's the same call for the church today. If there's individuals that don't want to know about Jesus, whether you realize it or not, it's part of the world today. There are people that just simply will refuse to know Jesus. That's the church, the opportunity we have, stay faithful to it anyways. And that's what they did. Now, we turn to the Gentiles. We're going to go to the people that want to hear it. Important message for the church today. Go to the people that want to hear about Jesus. Share with them those things. If you run into opposition and they don't want to hear it, it doesn't mean we dismiss them altogether and forget about them. It means we go on, we share with people that do want to hear it, and we keep praying for those people. Keep praying for the ones that don't want to hear about it, because God can change their heart. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying in verse 47, I have sent thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. God's plan, and was revealed to these faithful men, was go out and preach the word of God. Why? As it says in the last part of that verse, so that it will reach to the ends of the earth. That's God's plan still today for the church. If you didn't realize it, it's a great opportunity for the church to do what God has called us to do. Reach to the ends of the earth. How do we do that? We can make it really applicable in our church today. Do you realize? We have what's called missions opportunities. And every one of you have been a part of it. Some of you have been on an actual mission trip with us when we've actually gone to different places and done things. But every opportunity, just happens to be this month, we're taking up missions for our North American missionaries. And we had a goal, $500, just so you know, we passed that.
Amen.
Got closer to 600 already this month because of faithful people giving. You realize that through our cooperative program, this is how we reach people till the ends of the earth. Sending out people, just like Paul and Barnabas were, the local church sent them out. Whether you realize it or not, that's a way for you to be involved. And it's a way for us to be obedient to what God called us to do here. Paul says here, this is what we were expected to do. We were called out so that the salvation could be sent to the ends of the earth. That's what missions is all about. It's what the local church should be about. When the Gentiles heard this, look what it says in verse 48. The Gentiles are listening, and when they heard this word, they were glad, and they glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. What does that mean? That people heard the word of God, the Gentiles heard it, and it went from just hearing it to believing it.
Amen.
That means people got saved. People came to the same saving relationship that we talk about today. They realized they needed a Savior. They accepted this gift of salvation. It says they believed. And the word of the Lord in verse 49 was published throughout all the region. Verse 50, but the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city, and they raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coasts. Look at verse 51. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them, and they came unto Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. It's an important message for the church today. What happened? Paul and Barnabas faced persecution. Why? Because they were sharing the Word of God. They were sharing the truth of God. It's important for us to recognize this morning, when we get serious about the Lord, there's going to be challenge. There's going to be persecution. There's going to be difficulty. Paul and Barnabas, as we see it mentioned here in verse 51, it says they shook off the dust. When they gathered up all the people, the officials and the high-ranking people in the community, and they stirred up this great big lie about Paul and Barnabas, they sent them out of the city. Literally, they pushed them away because they were sharing the word of God. But it says very specific what they did. They shook off the dust, which means they literally shook off the dust of their feet from that city, and they moved on to the next place that God called them to go. And God had already prepared it. And it says in that 52nd verse, the disciples were filled with joy and the Holy Ghost. That means the church. Disciples are any and every one of us that have a relationship with Jesus Christ. When there comes persecution in the church, it's an opportunity for joy. It's an opportunity for the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts.
Amen.
I challenge you this morning, as you think about this opportunity for Paul and Barnabas and the early church, very key things that we learn from the Word of God. Preach the Word of God. Live it in our heart. Live it in our life. Allow it to be the number one priority in our thoughts. That our focus is on Jesus Christ. And when our focus is on Jesus, the church grows. Relationships grow. Relationships build. And the body of Christ is filled. An entire community came to worship the Lord.
Amen.
What would happen if tonight at 6 o'clock, the entire community of the Fowler came to worship the Lord. Because we were faithful to go and share how important it is to know Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come before you this morning. We thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day. We thank you, Lord, for your word and your truth. And Lord, what it means to know you. Lord, we thank you for the faithful message of Paul. As he spoke before this crowd of individuals, Lord, to share the true message of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that it's our heart's desire this morning as a church, first of all, that we would know Jesus as our Savior. Lord, that every person in this room, without a doubt today, can say in their heart that they know that there's been a time in their life when they asked you to forgive them of their sins, to come into their heart and into their life. And Lord, if we've done that, then I pray, Lord, you help us to just be the church you've called us to be. To be faithful and obedient to the direction you've given to us. And Lord, that we'd go out into the world this week being the light you've called us to be, that we might fellowship and worship together. And Lord, that we might see others drawn to you. Lord, not because of somebody's words, but because of your movement of spirit. And Lord, that the church today could be filled with joy because of you. Lord, you know every heart. You know every life here in this place. And I pray, Lord, you'd help us to be obedient this morning. We ask these things in your most precious name. Amen. If you will, stand with me. If you're going to use a hymnal, it's 275. Time together, we thank you for your word and your truth. And Lord, I pray you would just guide us from this place this morning. Lord, that we're reminded of your love and Lord, your saving grace in our life. And Lord, that it would be the message of our hearts this week as we go out into the world, that we would be a shining light for you. Lord, that we would just rejoice in who you are and what it is that you've done for us in sacrificing your son. And Lord, that it would just be the priority of our life. Lord, help us to be the church you've called us to be. And we'll be careful, Lord, to praise you. And we ask these things in your name. Amen.